one of the things that we're seeing in the FISMA reports is people are pointing to a lot of vulnerabilities that they're discovering in various agencies' IT infrastructures. But what they're not necessarily doing is going beyond the vulnerabilities to this notion of risk, which is so inherent in the kind of new FISMA framework that's been proposed.
Describe to me a little bit, because I hear people talk about risk a lot, and it almost becomes one of those words that we all think we know what it means, and I'm not sure we all really do. When we talk about risk, what are we really talking about?
I think that's a great point, and let me give an example. Your wallet is vulnerable. It's very easy to take money out of it. So that would be what people call a vulnerability. But to understand risk, you have to understand if your wallet is sitting on the middle of the sidewalk, you're obviously at great risk of losing your money. If your wallet is sitting in a vault in a bank with guards and alarms surrounding it, you're probably at very little risk. And so I think there's been a lot of focus on the vulnerabilities, but what we have to do is look at the entire infrastructure to see how the entire infrastructure is protecting our critical assets and what that risk is. So risk is a combination of the vulnerabilities, but also everything that's around it.
So how does one go about doing this very real risk assessment? Do you start with your most important data and then say, okay, how is this, say, and do you start with that, or do you start with systems?
Well, I think that's actually the challenge that most organizations are struggling with, because it's very easy to see the kind of security that might surround your wallet in a bank, but in an IT, it's very difficult to see physically all the kind of security that surrounds a piece of data. And this is where organizations are struggling to really understand the risk, because a typical IT infrastructure has hundreds and hundreds of thousands of controls and thousands of devices surrounding hundreds of systems, and the sheer complexity and rate of change of these infrastructures is really overwhelming our human capability of understanding what's going on and making sure that these vast infrastructures are really mitigating the kind of risk from attacks.
And overlayer that with this WikiLeaks world where, you know, data just almost wants to become free in some sense.
Well, I think that the data doesn't necessarily want to become free, but there are certain humans who want to make it free.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what cybersecurity is. Cybersecurity is trying to make sure that our critical information, if we need to keep it confidential, stays confidential, that our critical systems, if they've, you know, they're necessary for the operation of anything from, you know, a federal agency to a power plant, that those stay protected.
So bring us full back around to the FISMA reports. So everyone has to do this by law. So in the IGs are coming in and they're doing these assessments. So if you have to do this, what do you do with this data now that you have? If you have to do it, what do you do with it?
So I think the first thing is you have to really be able to demonstrate risk. And one of the things that I've seen in the reports that I've read are the IGs are basically assuming the worst case if you can't demonstrate what the real risk is. So one from Department of Commerce that I was reading basically talked about 13,000 potentially high-risk vulnerabilities. So that means that they found things in computer systems that could be a problem and that could potentially cause high risk, but because of the sheer complexity of the information systems, they don't really know. You know, maybe that risk has been mitigated by other means. And I think that's the next challenge, and it's really anticipated in the new FISMA guidelines with these ideas of continuous monitoring and near real-time risk awareness. But I think where the next phase for the federal government is actually putting in place the system so that they can translate between these vulnerabilities and risk.
And 13,000 system, 13,000 potential vulnerabilities, more than 13,000. That sounds like an overwhelming number to, I mean, that's a kind of number where I don't even know where I start with 13,000.
And that's the crux of the matter.
Yeah.
The crux of the matter is most of those vulnerabilities are probably very low risk.
So do these reports end up becoming just part of the sort of ambient noise and they don't become as valuable as they could be because we have more than 13,000 and that's only at one agency, for goodness sakes. So mm-hmm. all of a sudden this data doesn't become as useful to us as it possibly could?
I think that's one possibility. I think what we see happening in the federal government is people starting to deploy more technology to help them in this area, and to, you know, the complexity of their security infrastructures are so great, they're going beyond human capabilities, and so more and more technology is being deployed to help them say, of those 13,000, which are really high risk,
yeah,
and which are really lower risk, so that, and this all comes back to, we have scarce resources. How do you set those resources on the ones that are really high risk first?